situated up here. If you notice over here on the left side of me, there's plenty of Bibles here. We're going to hit every one of them tonight, okay? 40 minutes. Does anybody know what the difference is between a fairy tale, a truck driving story, and God's Word is? A fairy tale starts out with once upon a time, okay? A truck driver story starts out, you ain't going to believe this. And God's Word starts out in the beginning. And that's where we need to go to find out about a Bible without a comparison. The Bible is not a book of fairy tales, okay? It's not a book of spellbound myths. It's not even a book of my favorite stories. But it's a book about authority over a throne over the entire universe. Turn with me, if you will, to the 43rd book of your Bible. We're going to look at this Old Testament book, 43rd book of your Bible. Are you there? The 44 book, third of your Bible. You know, chapter 1. You know who the 43rd president of the United States was, don't you? John Adams, is what's his name? No. George Bush. But this ain't got nothing to do with George Bush. But anyway, the 43rd book of your Bible is written by God or spoke by God by the Holy Spirit, and starts out with, in the beginning God was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the same was the beginning with God. So you have to go to the beginning. And you know something? This was way back before eternity passed, was the Word of God. You think about that. Way back before this chart even here, and we don't preach the chart, we preach the Bible. I was corrected on that earlier. But way back before Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Way back before that you had God's Word. And to me that's awesome to know that He had His Word before creation. Now I may go a little fast here. I just had a cup of Baptist beer, if you will. It's coffee. But I tend to drink a little bit of that and I start idling about 1500 RPMs. You know, so, but way back before creation, and when He had started creation, within His handiwork, He has a zodiac, what we call the zodiac. And the first thing in God's plan for the entire universe was the Virgo, the promise of the prophecy of the promised seed of a woman. And it ends up with the Leo, the lion. Okay? But we know that through Satan's fall, that he corrupted the heavens. And now they tell a different story, don't they? You know, his followers today looks at the zodiac to figure out anything in the world that they can figure out. But it starts out with Aries, a ram, and ends up with Pisces, the fish. Totally opposite what God had planned. So there's a corruption in the Word, His words, starting in the universe. But when God put man on the earth, He would communicate with him through words. These words are the oracles in which we have to govern ourselves within God's universe. He spoke words. That excites me. And you know, Satan's policy of evil against the Word of God starts out in Genesis chapter 3, don't it? Many of y'all know this. Satan questions the Word of God, don't he? Then Eve subtracts from the Word of God by leaving out the Word freely. Then Eve adds to the Word of God. Then Eve watered down the Word of God. Then totally they deny the Word of God. So Satan's plan was has gotten Eve to think outside of God's Word, and that created a third viewpoint on it. Okay? So there's three viewpoints, as if you got God's Word, you got Satan's Word, and now you got Eve's Word, or the human viewpoint. It's like now you have God's Word, you have your Word, and then you have Edward. Okay, and I know when it comes to your Word and Ed Word, we can talk all we want to about our own viewpoints, and we do. I know I picked up Bob today at the airport, and we talked about all kinds of stuff. But we realize that the final authority is right here. Okay, but when we open up the Word of God, it usually shuts one of us up, if not both of our viewpoints. Take a deep breath here. That's why we got to go to God's Word for the authority in all matters. Amen? God uses words to fight the war against Satan that he has waged. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." He tells us in Ephesians that that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke. Luke chapter 4. In this Old Testament book, it tells us, and if you know what it means in Luke chapter 4, that Satan is tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? And you notice that, let me get there. And Jesus, being full of, verse 1, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. And it goes on, talks about verse 3. This is where we're going. "And the devil said unto him, Thou, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made, that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him and saying," what's those next three words? "It is written." And he goes on and talks about in verse 8, the devil is tempting them again in verse 6. And Jesus Christ answers in verse 8, "And Jesus answered him and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written." Okay? You go over here, verse 12. Well, verse 9. "And he brought him up," Satan brought him up to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written." You see how Satan's doing? He said, "Okay, God, you're going to use the Word of God, and I'm going to use the Word of God." But I love what Luke says about this in verse 12. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said." To me, it's saying, okay, Satan, you're going to use the Word of God. I'm the Word of God. It is said. That's powerful, powerful for me. The attack on God's Word is still happening today. One thing we've got to realize, it's about a book, isn't it? It's about a Bible. It's not about you and I. It's about authority. Okay? Most people today do not believe that the Bible is the absolute authority of God. I've recently had a lady that, you know, most of you know that I'm a special commodities relocation engineer, and I delivered to Joann Fabrics, okay? So, you know, they know who I am by now. They call me by my name, and they know I'm a preacher, and they know that I have words, and they're usually good words. And so I had a lady down here in Charleston. She came up to me, and she said, "I need to talk to you." Just like that, "I need to talk to you." I was like, "Whoa, you know, you're sitting back. What did I do?" And she said, "I need to know about this God and this thing called faith." So she said she never believed in God the Creator. She lives out there on the left coast, you know, over that area. But I shared with her that she believes in some type of a God. There's nobody out there don't believe in a God. You either believe in a God. You believe in the God of this world or yourself. Okay? And that's what I shared with her. So I asked her, "Would it offend you if I gave you a copy of God's Word?" And she said, "No, I would love to have a copy of God's Word." Okay? So she could compare what the God of creation has to say. So I gave it to her, and I gave her a copy of God's Word. And through the time restraints, I don't have much time to stay there at the places where I deliver. But I gave her a gospel tract, "Are You Going to Heaven?" I gave her a right division tract and understanding the key to understanding the Bible. And I shared with her also that this was authority, and you have a copy of God's Word. There's people out there today that do not believe or know the God of the Bible. They are tree. I've seen this bumper sticker, "Tree hugging dirt worshiper." What did that tell me? What they do? You know, there's those who worship music, money, material things, and not forget themselves. I shared this with our church the other day. How many have seen this bumper sticker? Coexist. Have you ever seen that? There's people out there who want you to coexist with somebody. They want you to coexist with Islam and peace and male and female and Judaism and Wicca and pagan and Baal worship and Confucius and Christianity. Now, you're going to work with these people, aren't you? You really are. You work hand in hand with these people, but you don't have to coexist with them. You don't have to believe the same thing they believe. You know, I think when Paul, when people like this, Paul in Acts 17, when he went to Mars Hill on Athens, he could not reason with them out of the Scriptures, could he? So what did he have to do? He took them back to the beginning. He took them back to the God who made the world and all the things therein. Thank you, sister. You know, she's paying attention back there. How many of you, from time you were saved, used the authorized version of the English-speaking people for commonly known as King James Bible? There's a few of you. There's a few of them. Myself, I was born a poor Southern Baptist. Okay, I came out of the womb carrying a King James Bible in one hand and a cup of Baptist beer in the other. Now, you know, that's coffee, by the way. That's coffee. Now, I'm just joking, but as far as I can remember, I've always been taught there was one Bible. There's two books in your house. You had a King James Bible, and what was the other one, Ray? Cedar and Roadback Cadillac. You know, one you used in the house, the other one used outhouse. Okay, but that's down in the mountains of the Virginia stuff. But the Bible issue was never an issue with me. The first conference we ever went to in our life, where we met Brother Richard and Darrell and Brother Oscar, was down in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And I had an old paperback Bible, one of them old ones you buy for a little cheap or they give you at the truck stop. I wore the cover off of it because these grace dispensationalists was feeding me truths, and I was going to try to prove them wrong. And I wore it out, I mean, when it comes to some issues. So Sherry, let's call her Eve, bought me a Bible. It was around my birthday, and it was in New King James Bible. You know, I'm gonna give her benefit of the doubt because apparently she just saw the last three letters. I do that time and time. You know, when you just look up, you see. Well, I don't know if I should share this, but traveling on a rest area, and I had to go. And I looked up, and all I seen was men. And guess where I went? Yeah. To the woman. You know, I didn't see. Whoa, man! You should have stayed away from there. But the thing is, Eve, Sherry, used it for the first day at the conference. And that evening, she came back into the room, and she said that this book does not say the same thing that they're preaching out of. I looked at it, and without hesitation, you know where it went? File 13. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not evil. I didn't want no part of that. Okay? I've got books up here. If you want to have your part of it, there's all kinds of Bibles up here, and we may get to a few of them in a few minutes. How many of you, since you became a student of God's Word, came to understanding that God can preserve His Word in English-speaking for the English-speaking people? Okay? That is very, very important. God can preserve His Word in any language He chooses. But for the English-speaking people, it is the authorized version of the King James Bible. Okay? In Psalms 12, 6 and 7, God says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified," how many times? Seven times. Verse 7, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from generations for," how long? "Ever." God does this through revelations, right? You know what revelation is. God communicates and reveals Himself to who? Man. Okay? He did that. Everybody in God's Word, everybody that God spoke to, He spoke to in the audio of a voice, and He wrote it in a book. Okay? They wrote it in a book. Next thing He does is inspiration. Man to paper. Write it down. All Scriptures are given by inspiration of God. Right? How many Scriptures? All Scriptures. From cover to cover. There's truth, horizontal truth all through this Bible. Amen? There's also vertical truths on your Bible. That's something to think about. God never changes, does He? But the way He dealt with man has changed. Then it's illumination. How information comes off the page of this Bible into the souls of the believer. Okay? You got to hear it. I think of illumination. I think when that word gets in that soul, it's like a light. And it wants to shine and wants to come out. Then He does it by preservation. How things are written down goes on from generation to generation. And how does He preserve His Word today? Through the copies. And who keeps it going? The body of Christ. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, God tells us of a unity of one, but we have over hundreds of Bibles. Right here on this page alone, there's probably 50 of them. Let me read one of them to you. How about the 100-minute Bible? I like to have that, wouldn't you? 100 minutes. Read it 100 minutes. The Word made flesh. Here's God is real, man. You know, I had Brother Dow tell me a long time ago when we was in his ministry, and he shared, he said, "I'll come out with a version one day that Jesus said, 'Chill, dudes, I'll be right back.'" Yeah. God's real, man. Let's see, what the Word on the Street. That's one. The Cotton Patch Bible. And the LOL Cat Bible. You know what that is? Internet language. You know? Internet language. The Translator's Authorized Version compiled 99% of the majority texts. We're going to look at some verses. You know what verses we just read in Psalms 12:6? You know what the NIV says? The words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. Verse 7, O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us and from such people forever. Ain't got nothing to do with this word. Once again, it's about a what? It's about a book. It's about a Bible. It's not about you and I. And that's very, very important to know. Let's compare some verses. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. As far as you can remember, who killed Goliath? Who? Well, how do you know that? It's in His Word. 2 Samuel. Second Samuel verse 21, verse 19, chapter 21, verse 19. There was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanah, the son of, help me out here. You know, there's some words I can't pronounce, and I'm not going to try. And you definitely don't want me to try to put it back in Hebrew and Greek. You know, I had two sisters at a church said, "Hey, I found a way we can build our church and fund it. We'll make a Southern version." You know? I said, "Well, no." I said, "No, as long as it's King James Bible, you can put down here footnotes what it would sound like in the mountains or the south." But what was that, Jero? A Bethlehemite slew, what's those next three words? The brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff whose spear was like a weaver beam. The NIV and the ASV, 2 Samuel leaves out the brother of. Y'all know that, don't you? Okay. It's right here. It says Elhanah killed Goliath. Okay? The brother was added by the King James translator. They knew who killed Goliath. And it wasn't who? Elhanah, was it? And you find that in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And 1 Samuel chapter 17 talks about he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones. This is David. He chose five. Why did he choose five? He had brothers, didn't he? Okay. Goliath had brothers. And 1 Chronicles chapter 20, I know I'm going a little fast. Chapter 20, verse 5, it tells you who Elhanah slew. If you want to turn right there. Chapter 20, verse 5. There was a war again with the Philistines. And Elhanah, the son of Jair, slew Lama, the brother of Goliath. That's who he killed. Amen. They leave it out. The other night, I had the NIV, I had the New World Translation, and I had the Good News to Bonner Man. My daughter had some of her friends over the house, and I was looking at these verses, and they was all on the couch. And I gave the NIV to my daughter, Erica, and Crystal was sitting there. And I said, "Here's the JW Bible." And she goes, "Ooh." J.W., you know, just like, ooh, J.W. I said, it's okay. You know, I know they're out there, but here's their word. And I gave the other one a good news. And we looked at that verses. And she was just amazed that the NIV and the J.W. Bible read the same thing on that verse. You know, the same thing. Every one of these Bibles up here do. Well, not every one of them. I'll show you in a little bit. But she was, whoa. And she handed that J.W. Bible over to Allie. And she said, that says the same thing. You know, and all that stuff. Like, you know, what little do they know that most of these newer versions are the same? You know, they're not kidding anybody. We want a Bible, don't we? We want a Bible. Mark chapter 1. Many of you know these verses. I don't have to keep repeating them, but hey, that table back there is full of literature. This table here. Brother David Reed wrote a book, Are There Any Contradictions in the Bible? You know, are they? Does your Bible have contradictions in it? No, it does not. It has contrasts. Okay? That's a good word. In Mark chapter 1, verse 2, as it is written in the prophets, the King James Bible says, Behold, I'll send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. You know what these versions up here say? It says, it is written in Isaiah, the prophet. You can search Isaiah until the cows come home. It's not in there. But you know what they have in your reference Bible? Malachi 3:1. You know, just think about that stuff. That's casting doubt. You know, my Bible right there has it. You know, there's... Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. I don't want to get ahead of myself. There are many people tell you that you can be saved, but God cannot preserve His Word. Y'all heard that? You know, so in Romans 10:17, faith coming from hearing, and hearing Lucky Magazine. Right? No? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Okay? And hearing the Word of God, or hearing the Word of God that you can't find or cannot get. I can have the Word of God, and you can too. Many of you have it right now. And I will not venture to say, but these versions right here contain the Word of God. You cannot get around it, people. They do have the Word of God in it. So don't think they don't. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word that you can't get or you can't find. And many people will change the word study and remove that word altogether. So guess what you cannot do? You can't go through your Bible and find other versions the words that they changed. Tricky people, aren't they? There's somebody behind this, and it's not me. Go to Acts chapter 8. Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 36. I was joking around with Brother Kenny at dinner tonight and supper tonight, rather. And I said, I'm going to get you to read a verse out of one of these Bible versions up here. And he's prepared to speak, but we know what I hope to say. Acts chapter 36. Excuse me. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 says, As they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 37 in your Bible says, And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Very, very important verse, isn't it, brother? Very, very. You know what these versions say up here? Cricket. You know? It's not even in there. But they go from, what surprised me, they go from 36 to 38. Well, if you're not going to put it in there, you at least have 37 in there. How important is it that the fact that the eunuch's getting saved? To me, yeah. Hello? Some versions had a footnote questioning that verse. You ever notice that? So guess what they're doing? They're planting a seed of what? Doubt. Does it sound like Genesis 3 again? All through those Bibles. When it comes to dispensational truth, okay, there are lost in the new translations. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, by the way, y'all, just this weekend is your weekend. Just kick your shoes off. Make yourself a home. You know, there's coffee on the second floor, an endless cup. You know, there's water all over the place. So just make yourself a home. We're going to spend eternity with each other, you know?
Amen.
You know, the brother over here wasn't sharing no bread with me earlier. I said, that's okay. We'll spend eternity together in heaven, but we don't have to right now. So, but anyway, where did I say to go? Ephesians. Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to make all men see that is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. That's important to know, isn't it? Okay. These versions up here, they end with who created all things. Period. The things created by Jesus Christ are gone. Okay. The deity's gone. The deity's gone. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, who manifested in the flesh, justified in spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up in glory. These versions up here will take God and says He appeared in the body. Who is He? Anybody you want to be? God is gone. God is gone. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, so when I started Grace School of Bible, manuscript evidence, you know, that was a very hard class. It really was. And I got to thinking, I said, I don't have to worry about this stuff. I know what I believe. You know, but there's people out there that don't believe the same thing I do believe. And if we're going to be teachers and we're going to be able to teach people and preach to people, we need to know at least a few verses that show some things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Very, very important verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. These versions up here says for the word of the cross. Okay? Where did preaching go? This version up here says for the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Where did preaching go? Hey, we need that preaching from a book that God has preserved, don't we? We really do. Verse 21 changes in his versions. They change the object of foolishness from the act of preaching to the message preached. You're preaching a foolish message. Verse 23. By the way, verse 21 says, "And for after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Where's the power of God at today? It's in preaching, in the message of the cross. Where's the wisdom of God's Word at? In the mystery. Very good. Go to chapter 2, verse 5. Excuse me. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." I love that verse. Oh boy, do I love that verse. But I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's a good introduction. And hey, brother, you know Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Then you can talk about Michigan, Ohio State, or the Cubs, or, you know, Cleveland Cavaliers, or, you know, things like that. Verse 5. Oh, here's another verse I like. Verse 4. And my speech was not... My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of the power of and power, that your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Now, where's the power of God at? In the preaching. Okay. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of the world that came to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world began. Now, where's the wisdom at? It's in the mystery program today. The whole Bible's wisdom, by the way. But if you don't want to know what God is doing today, it's in Paul's epistles. 1 John chapter 5. You can turn there, you can let me read it. It says, for there are three that bear records in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. These three are what? One. These versions up here says, for there are three that testify. These versions up here, same message. It says, and it is the Spirit who bear witness, because the Spirit is truth. Where's the Trinity at? It's gone. We need a Bible we can trust. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 verse 7 says, but contrariwise, chapter 2 verse 6 says, but of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they are, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in the conference added nothing to me. By the way, I'm wearing new glasses. You know? And reason being I say this, they're progressive lenses with the bifocals. I'm getting the age. And it's like a whole new world, you know, and I'm like, and I put them on. I've had them probably about a month and a half or so, and I put them on and I'm driving down the road. I'm used to just doing this, and this is blurry now, and I can't see my instrument panel, and I have to turn my head to look at now, and I'm like, ooh, I can't. So the next day I took them back, and the lady looked at me and she said, your brain's got to register what you're doing. You know, so I got to thinking about what a concept. What about the Word of God? You know how people, when you teach the Word of God, people just don't want nothing to do with it. But as you teach it and they receive it, guess what? It makes sense. So now I'm wearing them. So now I was sitting in bed the other night and I was like, you know, you can't. This is weird, you know. But I can read. Well, I try to read what I'm reading. But verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. How many gospels do you see there?
Two.
There's no mistake in your Bible. There's two gospels there. But these verses over here says, on the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. They have one gospel going out to two different groups. That's not what my Bible says. This other version over here says, on contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted that the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. Just as Peter had been. Where's right division at? Where's understanding your Bible that there was a gospel of the circumcision that was going out to Israel and a gospel of uncircumcision going out to heathen? Or the Gentiles. They had Paul preaching the same gospel. That verse right there will change your life if you let it mean what it says and says what it means. You know, verse 9, it says, "And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, and that we should go to the heathen, and they to who? The circumcision." Okay? How many of y'all saw the news here lately about this little school in Ohio that would not let that young man go to that dance? Or where they actually told him and said, if you go to that dance, if you hold hands and you do this, you listen to music, you kiss, then guess what? You're not walking down the aisle of this graduation class. Y'all seen that? Okay, you know the name of that school? Okay, I'm on the board of education at Heritage Christian School of Canton, Ohio. That was Findlay. So when that came out, we started getting bombarded with emails and flooded up there. What's wrong with you people up there? Won't let that boy do this and do that. Well, let me tell you something about that boy. That boy's been in that school for 13 years. Every year, yes he did. Every year he signs a contract, a statement of faith that he would not do that. We have a statement of faith at our school. You know? So he chose not to do that. It wasn't that he was not going to graduate. He was just not going to walk down the aisle with his people. Now, y'all might think, oh, that's evil. But you know something? They shook on it. I can remember when my dad, and you probably can too. You're maybe not my dad. But you remember your dad and dad's and dad. Hey, they said at 2 o'clock I'll be there. Words meant something. They shook their hands and it meant something. They didn't need 14 pieces of letter to sign and they reject it 19 times before they say yes. Words do mean something. That verse will change your life. In this Bible, in those versions, Bibles right there, the word Calvary and Lucifer are not in those. You think about that. Are not in there. Isaiah 14. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike, you know it. Isaiah 14. Don't we sing a song about Calvary? You know, isn't that a wonderful song, that Calvary? Don't get me singing. But, I mean, yeah. What are they saying at? Because it's not in those books. In Isaiah 14:12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground which did weaken the nations?" The NIV says, "O morning star." Totally takes Lucifer out of the picture. The NAS talks about, "O star of morning." Lucifer's gone, people. Guess who's, wonder who's behind that. Very good. Well, some of you might think, well, that's not all that bad. But you know that morning star is a title reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Revelation 22:16 says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto these things and to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." Those other versions hide Lucifer. So you can make think it's who back there fallen. Yeah. Lucifer is Satan. He's the prince and power of the air. He's the god of this world. He has counterfeited the word of God. He has corrupt the meaning of music. He's a liar from the beginning. Right? You know, I don't know if Brother Richard brought that. Did you bring about the, what does King James Bible say about music? Did you bring one of those? You ought to get that. If you really love music, and I know most of us do, you need to listen to that. Man, that's something. You know how he even corrupted that. I used to use this Bible right here. Where'd it go? Nelson's. King James Bible. Okay? Loved that Bible. You know? Till I found out they changed words in it. Now, many of you may have one. I'm not. Once again, it's not about you and I. It's about a book. Okay? And I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. If you notice, we didn't have a Bible check in here. You know? I don't care what you bring. This may be one of yours. I don't know. It's lucky. But the thing is, it's not going to say the same thing I'm doing. Reason being, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples." Okay? This Bible says examples. This new king, where is it? New Schofield? It's got ensamples. No, it's got examples and it's got parentheses around it. And over in the margin, it's got the King James says ensamples. I'm thinking they changed it to examples. Okay? When I found out about this, I wrote in 2000, I got the letter right here. In 2002, I wrote Nelson's publishers and they replied to this. "The difference you have discovered is simply a spelling difference. The word ensample is an archaic word meaning examples. This spelling change was made as a result of the word ensample being obsolete and no longer used in the English language. There are many words used in the original version of the 1611 KJV that are no longer spelled the same today. Therefore, these words have been replaced in order to be understood by generations. These spelling changes have happened over at various points over 400 years since the original KJV was published." So I asked them again, "Are there any way you can send me a list of other words that you might have changed so I won't have to keep calling you?" You know, I want to know. Some of you know me. Sometimes I'm a stickler on some things, and some of you don't want to know me. But anyway, if I want to know something, I'll try to get around to you some way or other. But they said, "We do not have a complete listing available. There have been many changes of the 400 years history of the King James Bible, and all Bibles do not contain them all. Some have retained older spellings. I am sorry I cannot be a service to this regard." You know what that did to my inner man? I cried. And I cried now. Because it still affects me. You know, my inner man was crushed because I couldn't read out of this Bible. I was afraid to read out of it. Because I didn't have the Word of God. It said King James Bible. And that same year, I was up in Chicago at the soldiers' training service. And I was sitting behind Rick Jordan, and he was listening to us. We was talking back and forth. He said, "You know what else they did? They changed throughly to thoroughly." Oh, thanks a lot, Rick. You know, I'm already crushed. I'm walking around like this. You know, but it did. They changed that. And just because it says King James Bible, you best know what's in it. You know, there's very few publishers out there you can trust that has the Word of God. God's Word does not have to be complicated. Okay? It should be easy to understand. You know, if this truck driver can preach and teach out of it, anybody can do it. Okay? And there's a lot of truck drivers out there can, you know, if you've got a problem, call a truck driver. They solve everything. Okay? Honestly, they solve everything. It's the words on a page that's made a difference in my life. It's the words that got down in my soul. I sit back there a long time ago at a conference, just newbie, you know, wanting to know. And look what the Word of God's happened in my life. Okay? It's words on a page. I think of Brother Mike over there. Mike's a fundamental Bible believer, aren't you, Mike? You know, and he's got a church here locally. And him and I are going to work on some things, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, that we're going to be teaching prophecy and mystery at his church. You know, and the reason why we struck a chord, if you would, not a chord, but got to understanding, it's the Word of God. It's not about this. Okay? It's not about that. It's about the Word of God and being right. I remember a long time ago, remember Paul talking, before Paul talking, modern day internet, we used to chat on Yahoo. You type it and all that stuff, Yahoo. And every time this guy would ask a question, I would post a verse every time, and I would dispute him with the Word of God. You know, they would type anything they want to do, but I would post a verse. If you got a quick verse, if you got a Bible, that's a great way to put it out there. Finally, this guy got mad and said, you and your paper God. But put this now. Get this one. You and your paper God. Okay? All right?
Yours is black and this was green.
Yeah. You know what I'm getting at? This is a paper God. But it's a God of words. He's a God of creator. And finally, he got mad. I can say that this paper God, as that man stated, is real. And his words are living words. And it made a dead man come alive. And you wonder what God is doing today? There's dead people out there walking around going to die and go to hell. And this word can quicken their soul and get inside them and make them alive. I'm living proof of that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're getting ready to close. These men here tonight and tomorrow this weekend are going to preach to you out of the Bible. Out of the Word of God with confidence. With confidence. And if you're here tonight and never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done, He's done some wonderful things, hasn't He? Man, He's done some wonderful things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherefore ye stand, by that which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory which I preached in you, unless ye believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. That's the gospel that saves people today. That's the words straight off that page into your hearing, and you have to make that choice to accept that and trust that and believe that. And verse 2 says, by which also you were what? Saved. If you keep in memory. You know your social security number? You know your phone number? You know your wife's birthday? Ernie's going, I don't know about that now. Yeah, anniversaries. I know my birthday. That's the greatest, one of the greatest days of my life, your own birthday. You know, Christmases and Easters and all that stuff is great, but your birthday is your own birthday. And there's a greater birthday that once you trust Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again, you're with us. You're with Him. Amen? Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the night. We thank You for so many things in our life. We thank You for the saints that are here today to hear the Word of God preached, rightly divided. And Lord, as we go through this weekend, let's just be excited of who we are and we're a part of You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I was told if you hear the music, come back in, you can stretch your legs and all that good stuff while I wire up, brother. Sir? Yeah. Dwayne said if you don't hear the music, you stay out.